All right, friends, what's up? This is a Babylon Talmud episode from Ubud, Bali, Indonesia. And hopefully this background noise won't get in there. Also, the lighting isn't super amazing, I think. But I think that's because the light is behind me. The only thing is, I thought it would be better to get this kind of background over here because it looks pretty cool. It'd be chaval to kind of miss out on that. So, trying as best I can with adding some extra light, but we'll see if that works. All right. In any event, here we go. We're learning today Masechta Nida, Daf Samach Beis. We're going to begin on Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis, all the way at the bottom, at the Mishnah. Here we go. Shiva Samanim Avirin Alek Kesem. Oh. So, great. We've been talking about Ksamim. A woman gets sees a stain on her clothing, and all the halachos regarding that, and nida, and lending that stuff out, and all that kind of stuff. So now, how do you remove a kesem? How do you remove a blood stain, right? Because of course, dam nida is a avatuma, right? So that's a big deal. Like, unless you remove it properly, you're going to have this dam nida, which is an avatuma, and that's a problem. So how do you get rid of dam nida so that the clothing won't be tame anymore, and that if you touch the kesem, it won't be tame anymore? So shiva samanin ma'avirin al akesem. There are seven ingredients, let's say, that you, or spices, epis, that you have to kind of apply to the kesem in order to remove it. And here they are: rok, spit, rok tefel, spit. And as we're going to see in the Mishnah, rok tefel specifically spit from somebody who hasn't eaten yet that day, kind of like when you get a blood test. Okay, ume grisin, also may grisin. We're going to see what that is. Ume raglayim. Anybody know what that is? Very good. Pish, v'neser, which is forget already. I think neser. I think was sulfur. I think. Uvoris, which is the Ashkenazis pronunciation of Borat, Boris. Kamonia, ve'ashlag. Also kamonia and also ashlag. And we're going to see what these things are. Okay, it bilavaso agab of Tyrus. So if somebody took the cloak that had a kesem on it, stuked it in the mikveh, and then spread out their truma on this garment after you put in the mikveh. Now remember, putting it in the mikveh doesn't remove the tumah from it. You have to use these seven things, okay? Hever alav shiva samanin, and then after they put the trume on this garment, which is presumably tame, they then use these seven ingredients in order to remove the kesem, okay? But guess what happened? Surprise outcome. Vilo avar. The kesem did not go away from the seven samanim. How strange. This seems to be the way to remove it and didn't get removed. So guess what? Hare zet seva, hataros tahoros, venu tzarech lahatbil. Boom. If you use the seven samanim and it stays there, guess what? That's an indication that this kesem is not actually dam nida. It is some random red stain. And these tyrus that you had laid out on the garment are going to be tahor, because there was actually nothing tame at all with this in the first place. Venu tzarech latvil, you don't have to put it in the mikvah. Avar oshadia hare zet kesem v'tayros tameos v'tzarech lahatvil. But if the samanim did remove the stain, or it weakened the stain, hare zet kesem, so guess what? This is a kesem, it's damnida. V'tayros tameos, which means that the tyrus that you had laid out on the chaluk are tameos, v'tzarech lahatvil, and you have to put the chaluk in the mikveh. Oh. Ezu rok tefel, asks the Mishnah, what is this rok tefel that we spoke about? Kol shlo tam klum. It's spit of a person who hasn't tasted anything. Okay, seder. Tasted anything in how long? I don't really know. But seder. Spit from somebody who hasn't tasted anything. Very good. May grisin. What's may grisin? Le'isas grisin shall ful chalukas nefesh. Okay, very good. It's basically if you take a bean and you like break it, separate it from its shell, and then you like chew on it, and then you apply that to the dam. All right. And meraglayim, this pish, shechmitzu, stavka rancid pish. All right. So you do all these things until it gets removed. And what you do is, for each one of these steps, you take the ingredient, you apply it to the garment, and then you rub it together, like, you know, the two pieces, you rub it on itself three times, and then it goes away. And you do this for each one of the seven samanim. Heviron shalok kisidron, if you do it out of order, or shehevir shiva samanim ka'achas, or if you did all of them together, you made one big mixture of pish and beans and all that stuff. So then, lo asaf lo klum, your funny little mixture didn't actually accomplish anything. Okay, zak the Gemara. Tana, neser alachsandris v'lo neser an taftaris. Okay, very good. It has to be, the neser has to be neser from alachsandris, and not neser antaftaris. Hope you guys are taking notes. Don't want you to take neser alachsan. No, I don't want you to take neser antaftaris. I wonder what we do nowadays. Like nowadays, what happens if you find a kesem? Well, nowadays, nowadays, what do you do if you find a kesem? I guess there isn't really like tumah and tahara so much nowadays, but I don't know. Like, does this magic mixture do a better job than like freaking Clorox? I don't know. Maybe. Boris. What's Boris? Amr of Yehuda ze ahala. Rav Yehuda says, Boris is ahala. Okay. Ve'atanya Boris via ohel. But we have a brisa which lists Boris and ohel, which means that Boris and ohel seem to be two separate things. Ela my Boris kavrisa. Rather, what's Boris? It's sulfur. Vira minhi. But one second, we have a contradiction. Osifu alein halavitzin. This is in the context of shvius, that they added to, I guess, the things that are chayv in Shvius, levitzin leonin haboris ve'aoil, and they also added boris and oil. Ve'i boris kavrisa, and if you're going to say that boris is sulfur, well then mi isle Shvius, does sulfur have Shvius? Ve'hatanya, right? The Gilead changes ve'atnam ve'atanya. Ze'aklal, this is taka the rule. Kol she'yesh lo ikar, yesh lo Shvius. Kol she'ein lo ikar, ein lo Shvius. In order for something to be shaykh to shvius, it has to have an ikr, it has to have a root. And if it doesn't have a root, then it's not going to be shaykh to shvius. And boris, sulfur, if you say boris is sulfur, well, sulfur doesn't have a root. I think sulfur is talking an element on the pH table, on the, what's it called, pH table? No, the whatever elements table, whatever that thing is called. Is it called the elements table? I can't remember right now. I remembered it before. Whatever it is. On the what table? The elements table? The pH table? Now it's going to drive me nuts. Okay, my boris, ahalo. Fine. So, via tanya, ha boris via oil, but what do we do with that brisa, which said boris and oil, which sounded like it was two separate things? So the Gemara answers, tre gavne, ahalo. There's two types of ahalo. Okay, interesting stuff. Kamonia, vasizatz, kamonia, amar vuda, shlof, dots. I don't really get what this means, but it means stick it in, stick it out. Okay? That's kamonia, ladies and gentlemen. Ve'ashlag, what's ashlag? Amar Shmuel zak Shmuel, she'altinu l'nachuse yamo. Oh, very nice. So Shmuel was doing his research into figuring out what ashlag is. So he figured, who would know? The people who travel the world would know what ashlag is. Ve'amar, when they said ashlaga shmei, it's actually a taco called ashlaga. Right, the high society, you know, they turned up their nose and they're like, oh, ashlag, do you mean ashliga? U'mishtakach b'nei nakve marginisa u'mafkela b'martza b'ramza d'farza. And it's found in the shells of pearls, and you remove it with a rod of iron. All right, friends, all right. Hitbilu v'asa chulei. Oh, okay, so here we get to the nitty-gritty darting of the Mishnah. So we said that if you you put the thing in the mikveh and then you put tyrus on it, darten, and then you after the Tyrus, you then did this whole seven-step thing, and it didn't rub out. So that means that it's just tseva, and it's not tame at all. So these Tyrus are fine, right? So that whole thing. It's like there's some new guests over here at the Manyi Village Hotel. So Tanu Rabbanim. So the rabbis taka taught. Hever olav shiva samanim. If you taka put the seven samanim on it, vilo avar, and it didn't go away. Okay. Tzafun v'avar. But then you use sort of a stronger soap. I mean, we did this funny seven-step process, and it didn't go away. But then you use kind of just a stronger soap, v'avar, and the taka went away. So tyros of tmeis. So in that case, the tyros are taka tmeis. But the Gemara asks, one second, tzafun tseva nami ma'aver. What do you mean? One second. If you use like a heavy-duty soap and it removes the dam, then it's tame. But even if it was tseva, this heavy-duty soap would remove it. So, I mean, how do you? Why are you assuming that it was dam? It may have equally been just some kind of dye. El hever all of shisha samanin. No, what it means is that if you did six out of the seven steps, v'lo avar, and it didn't go away with six out of the seven steps, hever all of tzafun v'avar. And then for the seventh step, instead of doing the correct step, you put on heavy-duty soap and it got removed. Tyros of tameos. So then the tyros are tameos. And we don't say that maybe it was tseva. Shem hevir shvi mitrila shema avar. Because if you would have done it properly and used the seventh step, so maybe it would have taka been avar with that, even though it didn't remove it on the first six. And therefore, maybe it was taka, just regular dam, and it would have gone away. Therefore, we don't know what would have happened, and therefore, it's time we have to assume that it could have still been dam. Tanya idach, we have a different brayse. Have your all of shiva samanim, if he used seven of the samanim, all seven samanim, v'lo avar, and it didn't go away. Shina on v'avar, but then he did it again, he did it a second time, and this time it went away. Tyros of Tahoros. The Tyros are nonetheless Tahoros because the first time, you know, all you have to do is do it one time. You did it the first time with all seven Samanim, it didn't go away, it's Tseva. You did it the second time, it went away, Zeu, it's still Tahor. Omer Bzera, Zakt Bzera, Loshanu Ela a Tyros Shanaisu Bein Tachabosas Vishonu Lishnia. Oh. So, Bzera says one second, not so Pashit. The only things that are going to be tahor are the tyrus that he did between the first time that he washed it and the second time that he washed it, i.e. he washed it one time and the kesem was still there. So that means that it's tseva. And then he put tyrus on there. It's fine because he put tyrus on tseva. However, says Rav Zera, here's his chiddush, that if then he, when he washes it the second time and it goes away and then he puts tyrus on it, it's actually going to be tame, right? Aval tyrus shenaisu achar tachboses shnia tyrus of tameos sherei hikbir olav v'avar, because the fact that he is doing a second bedika shows that he wasn't fully convinced by the first one, right? Meaning he did it the first seven times and the kesem was still there. Why did he do it a second time? Because he's something is getting at him. He's suspicious, right? He seems to think that this really is dam, and he does it a second time, and then it goes away, and that essentially like confirms his hunch, so to speak. And now, so the next time he puts the tyrus over there, it's actually going to be tame based on his suspicion and his hunch, which he seems to have proven correctly at least the second time around. So Rabbi Abba says to Ravashi, what is his personal nervousness or his personal concerns have to do with the fact that we have a halacha that you do these seven things and if it doesn't go away, it's tahor. So Amar le'in. So Rabbi Zera says, yeah, actually his personal concerns do actually play a difference when it comes to tyrus. The Tanya, as we learn in the Braise, Rabbi Chia Omer, Zokter B'chia, Dam Hanida V'Vadai. If you have mamash damanida, we're not talking about a kesem anymore. We're talking about damanida vadai, okay? Mavir olav zayin samanim. So you pass on it the seven samanim, the seven steps, okay, umivatlo, and umivatlo, says Rashi, v'afilu lo avar, even if it didn't go away, arei u batal, v'tahor, who, holo v'ein adam makbir olav achra avaras ha-samanim mid'ozula chazusa, because since nobody's going to be makbid on it anymore, once you once so if you have dam vaday, we're not even talking kesem over here, right? Meaning you had dam vaday, and now how do you get rid of dam vaday, right? Kilu, it's avatuma. How do you get rid of it? You get rid of it in the same way with the zayin samanim. Very good. Now. Zeu. So once you pass the seven samanim on it, it's batal, even if you could still see it. Kilu, even if it didn't totally get rid of it, right? Because we know for sure that it's not seva. But once you put the zayin samanim on it, it's mevatal. Why? Because at that point people aren't makbid. Kilu, you know, you even see this, you know, personally. I don't know, if you wash a shirt and there had a stain on the shirt, and the stain you could still see a little bit. I don't know. I feel like some people, let's just say, might say, look, lemaisa, it's already washed, it's not dirty anymore, you know. Sure, maybe it doesn't look great, but you know, it's not dirty. You know, it's already been washed. Zeo, so we see nu. So we see that it was mamish dam nida, and you use these seven samanim, and even though you can still see it, it's nonetheless bata. Why? Because people are not makbid anymore. So we do that, so we do see that kepeda actually does play a role when it comes to dam nida and tuma. Oh. Zeo, damni de vada mavi, olav zain samanim vado, four lines into the Gemara. Ve'amai, why should we bato? Adam nidahu. It's dam nida and I can still see it. So, alma bekpeda talya milsa. Hachinami bekpeda talya milsa. No, but what's the answer? The answer is that when it comes to kpeda actually plays a role when it comes to dam nida. And since people are not going to be makbid once you pass the seven samanim on it, it's going to be tar. And here also, since the opposite, since he is makpid on this kesem, and he's saying, I think for sure that it's dam, and he does the bedika, and it goes away this time, so that's going to be our proof that it taka is dam nida. Fine. Very good. Okay, so now we're getting into something. Okay. So now we're getting into, very good. Very good. So now we're getting into something that's called tum'a blua. Right? Here we're talking about something called tuma blua. What's tuma blua? Tuma blua is when you have something that's tame, okay? But it's absorbed, like completely absorbed into something else. And an example that we're going to be working with is, for example, you have a zav. And the zav pished into a klicheres, okay? So his pish is an ava tuma. And a klicheres, even though it doesn't become tame from the outside, it becomes tame from the inside. So when he pishes inside of it, the klicheres becomes a rishon tuma. Now the klicheres now absorbs the pish, so the pish is inside of it, and then the klicheres breaks. So what do you have? You have pieces of a klicheres that have pish inside of it. So that is what's called tuma blua, tuma that is absorbed inside something else, and that is not actually tame. But the question is, there are ways of extracting this pish from the cheres, in which case it can, the question is, you know, if you can extract the pish from the cheres, so is the cheres going to be considered tame or not? So let's see how this. Let's see what happens here. Tanan hasam. We learn over there in Kalim. Interesting stuff. Charosim shenishtamish boin zav shebalu mashkin v'naflil avir atanir v'husak atanir hatanir tame shesof mashkilatzes. Oh, so we have a Mishnah in Kalim that says the following. So let's read it again and translate it slowly. Charosin shenishtamish boin zav. You have a kli cheres, right? You have kli cheres, a cheres, a kli that's made out of earthenware, pottery, and a zav pished in it. Shabalu mashkin, and they absorbed the pish. V'naflu la'avira tanur, and then I think so. What he's so what the Mishnah isn't saying, but what I saw in a Likutei Rashi, I believe, is that then what happened is that the cheres broke. So the kli itself isn't tameh because it's broken, right? If you break a kli cheres, right, the kli cheres yutatz, right, that you have to break it in order to remove the tuma. So he broke it. Now the tuma has been removed, but there's tuma inside the kli cheres, and then they fall into an oven, the nitaka fall into an oven. V'nafilu avir atanur, they fall inside of an oven. Now remember, the ovens that they used to use back then were if you kilu take like a cone and you flip over the cone and like cut off the tip of the cone, okay? So you have, and then you put the heat source inside, and then you can put like a pot on top of it, and it could be a stove. You can like, you know, stick bread to the sides, and you could bake bread. So that's what they would use. So you have these kli cheres pieces of cheres that fell inside of this oven. These kli cheres that have pish absorbed in them. And v'hu saka tanur, and then you light the oven. Hatanur tame, shesof mashkilat says the tanur is tame because the pish that's inside of the kli cheres is ultimately going to come out. What does that mean? It means that inside of this cheres is absorbed the pish. Now, when it falls into the oven, well, it's absorbed into the kli cheres, so it's tuma balua. It's absorbed tuma, and therefore it's not going to be matame the oven. However, if you light this, the second that you light the oven, okay, the second that you light the oven, so then these pieces of cheres are going to be metame the oven. Why? Because ultimately, when the oven gets hot, it is going to heat up these cheres, and the pish that is absorbed in it is going to be released, and that pish is a avatuma. It's meraglam of the zav. And it's going to be metame the oven. And therefore, right, there's an inyan I remember learning in Morish HaKol about 15 years ago or something, right, the concept of sof tuma lotzes, that if tuma necessarily needs to be, you know, come out somehow, so then it's going to be metame other things. And therefore, even though the cheres is not yet hot, but it's going to get hot because you lit the oven, so already the oven is tame because inevitably the pish is going to be released from the cheres, and that's an avatuma, and now you have an avatuma inside the oven, and it's going to be metame the oven from the inside. That's the Mishnah in Tyrus. Amr Rish Lakish, Zakt Rish Lakish, Lo Shanu Ela Mashkin Kalim. Now, Rish Lakish says that this is only really with regard to Mashkin Kalim, that you have to actually light the oven in order for it to be metame the oven. What's Mashkin Kalim? Maybe like tears of Azov that got absorbed in the cheres, or pish if somebody touched a sheres, or somebody touched a mace, which these things aren't avatumas. They're only metame midrabanan. So those things you need to light the oven in order for them to be metame midrabanan, because midoraisa, they're not an avatumam. So they would only be metame anyways midrabanan. And in that case, you have to light the oven in order for them to be metame the oven. Aval mashkin chamurim, but mashkin chamurim, such as pish of azav, right? Tame afal pish lohu sakatanur would be tame even though the oven was not even lit. Oh, so what do we see? Basically, Reish Lakish is saying that this meraglayim of the zav that got absorbed in the cheres is not considered tuma balua. Is not considered tuma balua. Why? Because since it's possible for it to be released, i.e. by heating it up, since it's possible for it to be released in the first place, it's not going to be considered tuma balua. And therefore, if it's not tuma balua, so then, because everyone agrees that tuma balua is tahor, but the question is this miraglaim that gets absorbed into the cheres, is it tuma balua b'chal? And Reish Lakish says, it is not tuma balua, because since it's possible to release it by heating it up, it's not considered tuma balua, and therefore, even before it gets heated up, the second that the cheres falls into the oven with the pish that it has absorbed, it's already going to be metame it's tame, it's an avatuma, it's going to be metame the oven from the inside. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Zokter Rabbi Yochanan, Echad Mashkin Kalin, Ve'echad Mashkin Chamurim, Im Husakatoner In, Ilo Lo. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no. It doesn't matter if it's tears of the Zav, it doesn't matter if it's the meraglaim of the Zav, it's all the same. And it is considered Tuma Balua, and therefore only if the, and therefore it's not going to be the time of the oven. However, if the oven gets heated up, and by heating up it's going to release the pish, and then it'll be metamid oven. So then once you, you know, light the oven, then immediately it's going, the cheres is going to be metamid oven, even though it's not hot yet, because sof tuma latzes. Zeu. Okay, but Rabbi Yochanan does consider this pish that got absorbed in the cheres to be tuma balua, and therefore when the cheres falls into the oven, it's not immediately metamid the oven until you light a fire in there. Now, Rabbi Yochanan asked the kasha against Reish Lakish from our Mishnah, and this is the Tain Tara Mishnah. Hitbilu v'asal gab of Tyrus. If you had a kesem and you put the kesem in the mikvah, and then you the wind is driving me nuts. It keeps on closing the things. I don't have so many hands to deal with. Okay, so basically, Eisver Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish hitbilu v'asal gab of Tyrus. So he put the chaluk in the mikvah, and then he did Tyrus on the chaluk. Devir olav zayin samanin, and then afterwards he put the zayin samanin on the chaluk to clean it. Vilo avar, and it didn't go away. Okay. Harei zeh tseva, so we say it's tseva. V'tairos of taros, v'ein tzarech lahatbil. And the tairos are tara, and you don't have to put in the mikvah. Straight up from our Mishnah. Basically what happens, he had this kesen, he used the zayin samanin, and they didn't go away. And in the meantime, he had done tyrus on the chaluk, and we say that what? What do we say? We say that the tyrus are taharos. And here's Rabbi Yochanan's kasha to Reish Lakish. Shouldn't we be concerned that maybe it was dumb? What if maybe it was dumb? What if maybe it was actually dumb? You had a kesen, you used the zayin samanin, it didn't go away, but maybe it was takadam. And it just didn't go away. And now, theoretically, you can get out the dam if you'd use soap, right? So maybe, according to you, Reish Lakish, wouldn't you say that, just like by the cheres, that even though the pish is absorbed in the cheres, since you could theoretically get it out, you could theoretically remove it with fire, we consider the pish isn't considered balua in the cheres. Well, then guess what? Say the same thing over here by the dam. Since you could theoretically remove the dam, the kesem, from the, you know, if we say that even though you use the zayin samanim, it didn't come out, it could theoretically still be dam nida that somehow didn't come out. And but you would be able to remove it with the soap. So then it wouldn't be considered tuma balua. So according to you, Reish Lakish, shouldn't the Mishnah have to be concerned that maybe taka is dam nida and it wouldn't be considered tuma balua, and therefore it should be mitara, should be matami the tyrus, at least misafik. So Rabbi Yochanan is bringing that as a proof to say that even though theoretically you can get something out using some kind of extreme measure, like getting it really hot or using some super strong soap, Lemaisa, we're still going to be considering it tuma balua, and that's why the tyrus are tar, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan also says that legabe the oven, when the klicheres falls in, that the pish is absorbing it, it's also the oven is tar, because the only way to remove it would be through like getting it really hot, and that we could still consider it to be tuma balua. Fine. So, Amar Lei, so Reish Lakish responded to Rabbi Yochanan. Hanach l'ksamim d'rabbanan. Oh, don't ask me kashas from ksamim that were like makil, because the only way to get it out would be through using a soap. We could be makil and consider that tuma balua. Why? Because ksamim be'etzim are only min d'rabbanan anyways. Oh, v'atani Rabbi Chiya. But didn't Rabbi Chiya have the thing about actual mamish dam, that dam anida vaday mavir olav zayin samanim mevatlo? That if you have mamish dam anida, you could use the zayin samanim on it and it'll be mevatlo the zayin samanim. And that's that's for sure dam. Amalei Rabbi Lo Shana Rabbi Chiya Menale. Reish Lakish is not fazed. He says, look, Rabbi didn't. It's not in the Mishnayos that thing that if you have mamish dam nida and you use the zayin samanim, and it doesn't go away, it's still bato. Rabbi didn't teach that. So if Rabbi didn't teach it, where did Rabbi Chiya's student get it from? So Reish Lakish basically doesn't really give validity to Rabbi Chiya's statement. So Reish Lakish is still taka, holding his ground that if you could possibly remove it, such as the soap by Anida or the heating up the klicheres, it wouldn't be considered Tumah Balua. Esver Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Now Rabbi Yochanan asks Akasha to Reish Lakish again. Revius Dam Shnivla Bebayis. Okay, if you have Revius Dam from a mace, okay, and you have a Revius of Dam from a mace and it spills out on the floor, the dirt floor of a house, and then it gets absorbed into the floor. Habayis Tame. The house is Tame. Everything in the house, all the Kalim in the house are Tame. Ve'amila Habayis Tar. Although there are those who say that actually the house is tahor, okay. And it's actually no problem. When is the everything in the house tame? Everything in the house is tame. All the things that were in the house at the time that the blood spilled on the floor and didn't yet get absorbed in the house. So at that point, your mom had revius dam min ames, which is mitami ba'ol, and everything in the house is tame. But once it already got absorbed, it's tuma balua. And then any kalim that came into the house after that would not be tame because it's only tuma balua. Okay, that's not the interesting part for us yet. But nivla b'chusus, what if the dam got the revius dam of the mace got absorbed in clothing? Im miskabeses v'yotze mimena revius dam tamea. So if you can wash it, and the revius dam will come out from it, so it's not tuma balua, and therefore the clothing will be tame. V'im lav tahora, and if it doesn't come out, so then it should be tahor. Amav kahana mikule revius shanu kam. Oh, one second. V'im lav tahora. What does Rashi say? V'im lav tahora. V'afakav the revius shleima nivlasbo. Oh. Very good. So if you just kind of wash it regularly, and it
comes out, and if it doesn't come out, if it comes out from a regular wash, then it's not tuma balua. But if you do a regular wash, whatever's left over that doesn't come out is going to be tahor. Right, and we don't say, even though you can use some kind of strong soap to get it out, it should be tame. We don't say that, right? Because even though you could theoretically get it out with a stronger soap, we would still consider it to be tuma balua. So it's a kasha and Reish Lakish.
However, there's a catch here that Reish Lakish, of course, is going to, act upon, which is Amar Rav Kahana Mikule Revi'iyos Shanu Kan. Rav Kahana points out that this isn't actually talking about regular dam min ames. This was actually talking about a dam, what's called dam tivusa, which is if you somebody got murdered and he was bleeding to death, and you're from this revius dam, you don't know if the rove of the revius was from when he was alive, in which case it would be tahor, or from when he was already dead, in which case it would be matame tumas mes. And therefore, midirabbanan, it's tame. And Reish Lakish is going to say that's why it's tahor if it doesn't come out from a regular wash, because this is only a din dirabbanan anyways, which is exactly what he says. Shiny dam tevusa dirabbanan. Dam tevusa is dirabbanan. That's why we can be makel to say that if it doesn't come out from the first wash, then it's already tahor, even though you could theoretically get it out with stronger soap. Okay. Now it's Reish Lakish's turn. Eisvei Reish Lakish, the Rabbi Yochanan. Kol habalua she'enu yachol latzeis tar. We have a Mishnah, I guess, in Kalin or Oelos, that says kol habalua she'enu yachol latzeis tar. Anything that's absorbed, that is impossible for it to come out, it's tar because it's tuma balua. Okay. Ha yachol latzeis tami ba'fagav de lo nafik. Oh, which implies that if it is able to come out, even if it's difficult, even if it's not easy to get it out, but it can possibly come out, such as by the cheres if you heat it up, or by the clothing, by using a stronger detergent, then it would be considered able to come out, and it wouldn't be considered tuma balua, and it would taka be tame. That's Reish Lakish's kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. So now comes Rav Papa, Amar Rav Papa, and he comes to set things straight. Okay, he says, first of all, whenever it's impossible for tuma balua to come out, for that which is absorbed to come out, below hikbid olav, and the person isn't even makbid on whatever is absorbed in there,
Divya kol tar. Everyone agrees it will be tar. Yacholat says, if it's possible for it to come out, the hikbid alav, and people are makbid on what's absorbed in it, divya kol tame. Everyone agrees that it's going to be tame. Ki plige, where do Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish argue? The yacholat says, v'lo hikbid alav, where it's able to come out, but the person isn't makbid on what it is. So Marisa Rekim, the yacholat says, since it's possible for it to come out, afagav v'lo hikbid alav, even though he's not makbid on it, it's still tame, and that's Rish Lakish. Only if he's makbid on it is he going to be tame, but if he's not makbid about it, I guess he doesn't really do anything to get it out, so then it's going to be Torah, and that's Rabbi Yochanan. Shkoyach, have a good Shabbos, everybody. Peace.